Where's that third video? There we go. All right, we're probably going to get taken off YouTube for that one because they don't like it when you play other people's videos, but I had to play it. Who loves The Rock? Anybody out there? Okay, you guys, you're raising your hand, but you're not like getting into the energy part of it. At least you got your hands up. I grew up WWE, like The Rock was the man. I loved Goldberg before that. Like, it's entertainment only. It's what I'm going to tell you today is that part of wrestling and fighting is highly scripted stuff, right? It's all fake. It is what it is. Sorry if you're 9 years old or younger and your parents haven't told you that WWE is fake yet, or all the other stuff I won't mention. And some of you are having a hard time with this right now, and I just want to let you know, like, let's just have a good time. Let's just relax a little bit. We're going to have fun in this church. This is going to be a place where we have fun. We're not going to sin, but we're going to do things that are fun, that are going to reach people and have fun and have that kind of fun to be able to do these things. So I just want to let you know that too, that this isn't going to be like a place where we may step on some toes, I'll tell you that. But just breathe a little bit. Have fun. Know that Jesus wants to work through things that maybe you're not comfortable with yet. So wrestling is an example. So we're talking about this series called The Fight. And we talked about boxing a lot, but we haven't gotten to WWE yet. And WWE is like the example of fighting in our culture right now. It's fake. And honestly, did any of you grow up with, do you know who Freddie Prinze Jr. is back in the day? Some of you are like, yep, you're about my age. He was like the heartthrob in all the movies and stuff. Well, I just found out, your mind is going to be blown, that he has a podcast on WWE. And you're like, whoa, my worlds are like colliding right now. Well, evidently, he is an acting coach to WWE wrestlers, and the whole thing's just blown up. Your mind's going to be blowing up the whole time now. But I want to talk to you about this. This stuff is scripted. Like, there's so much that is scripted, but our lives are not scripted. They are evolving over time, and we're working through things that are difficult. And like, just today, you're probably like, oh my gosh, everything's messed up. Something that I didn't want to happen happened. And everything's just blowing up right now, and you don't know what to do, and you're making decisions, and so let me tell you this. Allow God to work in those moments. Those are the moments that you have to allow God to work the most. The moments where everything's just not making sense. It's not the way you want it. It's not how you planned it. It's not how you planned it. WWE did not plan for all that blood to go out of the floor, right? They didn't want that to happen. Now they got to fix it. Our lives, we have to surrender. I love that first song. We have got to get into a place where we surrender our lives to Jesus. We have to surrender our lives to Jesus because he's the one that wants to take care of us. Now, wrestling's fun, like watching people get hit by fake 2x4s and stuff like that. It's just goofy. Like, it's goofy. And it's entertaining, and it's weird, and now we've got, you know, some of these fake wrestlers are some of our biggest actors, and I just love some action movies, and it's fun. Just allow it to be fun and what it is. And so life is not choreographed, though. It's not well rehearsed, as much as type A people want it to be. Like, you're thinking, I wish I had a little bit more control. No, I did not have control over my little daughter puking this morning, and now she's at home, and I went home to pick up my little son. And Moxie, my daughter, is standing there with her shoes in her hand. She's like, Daddy, I want to go to church. She didn't say it that way, but she said, I want to go to church. I wish I had control in that moment, but I had to just take a minute and like hug her and let her know that Jesus loves her and that you can stay home today. Because I don't want you puking on people. So just, if you need to stay home because you're puking on people, just stay home. So in our prayer service this morning, we went over this verse, Ephesians 6:12. And I've been, in my life, experienced highly spiritual atmospheres that get a little wonky sometimes. And what I want us to do is to realize that actually God needs us to sometimes over-spiritualize our life a little bit more than we have. And when I say over-spiritualize, just spiritualize it. Like, the enemy is attacking you. If you're having negative thoughts and you're mad at someone and you're angry at someone for doing something to you, I'm telling you what, the enemy is just going to be putting some coal on that fire. He's going to be putting coal on your fire, trying to get you so angry at that person that you'll just cut ties and just sever the relationship. Maybe there's something that happened that maybe you need to, but what I'm talking about is normal life stuff. The enemy is trying to get you so angry at someone that you will sever the relationship and that you'll ruin something that's beautiful. But in Ephesians 6:12, it says this, "For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." So we are primarily spiritual beings. We do have a physical body. The Bible also says that we will be taking our physical body to heaven. Now, relax a little bit. You're like, okay, I didn't hear that part. It's going to be perfected. Woo! We're all going to have abs. It's going to be amazing. I don't know that to be a fact, but it is going to be perfected. Whatever God says is perfect, I'll take it. So, we are spiritual beings. We do have a physical body. This is a spiritual life. It is a spiritual life. This is why, like, our staff, our leaders, this, it's not always the most popular thing to have a prayer service on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock before everything, because, man, you go boom, 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 boom. But I'm telling you, we live a spiritual life, and so we spend time in the Spirit praying before our service, because there are spiritual things that are going to happen in this service. And so we prioritize the spiritual things that are happening because that is what this life is. Example here, Tiger Woods. Anybody remember Tiger Woods? At this point, he's getting older, I guess. But dude, I'm telling you, if you want to know who Tiger Woods was for about 10 years, think Caitlin Clark over the last like 2 years. For 10 years, it was just like he was it. But his life blew up in just an instant. He had he got in a car accident. He was massively having affairs all over the place. His whole image was blown up in the public's eye and just destroyed. His life blew up in just a moment. And so he was attempting to live a life that was significant. He was doing things that were significant. He was worth $1.3 billion. So in the world's eyes, yes, he was very significant. But he was trying to fulfill his spiritual life with physical things that were not going to give him significance in what we consider the real life, and that's eternal life, when we spend time with God for the rest of our life. And so he was trying to fill those spiritual voids with the things that you could only do with God. And so if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you can remember, even pre-salvation for some of you, you can remember back before you trusted Jesus with everything. That is who we're trying to not be. We're trying to grow closer to Jesus and allow him to take our life now. We're trying to allow him to take control of everything. And so when we do that, then we have spiritual significance in this world. So until you understand that, if you've never experienced heartbreak in your life, then you're going to look at someone like a Tiger Woods or a professional athlete who says something incredibly stupid, you're going to just look at them and you're going to judge them. But if you've actually experienced that in your life and you've experienced the grace and the salvation that Jesus comes, you're going to have grace for that person. And I'm telling you, some of us need to switch our minds around a little bit too. We see these people that are famous and they're living in a bubble in front of us all. But we want to look at them and give them the grace that God wants to give them. They're one step away. All that person needs to do is give Jesus everything in their life. And so think about that today. Allow Jesus to work in your life. This is an enemy that we're talking about in this Ephesians 6:12. This is an enemy that wants to twist and tie things in your life. He wants to mess you up. And so whatever you struggle with, he's trying to mess that up in your life. So he's just going to keep toying with it. And you probably know what I'm talking about. Like for me, the last few weeks, it's been sleep. And so like, let me tell you, if you don't get enough sleep, everything's going to be messed up in your life. Your brain can't function very well. But allowing yourself to surrender more during the times of the biggest struggles of your life is the key to what we call spiritual success. The Bible calls it a fruitful life. The key is the surrendering part. And just, you really, when you're low, 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 you really start to understand, number one, who you are and how much you're able to actually do, which is almost zilch. And then the power of God in your life that can actually do everything that you need and everything you might ever want when you surrender that life to Him. So it's in those moments that you have to realize who you are and who God really is. And that's part of life, is figuring those things out. But then you have the enemy trying to come in at you at different ways too, saying things, doing things, saying things to you that are triggering you to do things that you don't want to do. And so God wants us to know that this life is more spiritual than we believe. So in John 10:10, it even says, the thief's purpose, the enemy, is to steal and to kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. And so God gives us this option that we can follow what the enemy says, and he will steal, kill, and destroy, or we can follow God's purpose for our life, and he wants to give us a rich and satisfying life. Now, be careful not to tie rich and satisfying life to what you might think that is, but it's actually something that he wants for you. It does not mean more money, more fame, all those things. Some of that comes along with it. But the primary purpose is that you would have a satisfying life, that no matter what happens in your life, when things are pure chaos around you, that you have peace. You're almost like in this peace bubble, and you've allowed the Holy Spirit to have peace through you and in you. This life, you would have peace even in the middle of chaos. And I've used this illustration before, and it's kind of disturbing. This building could be burning down right around me. If I had a sphere of peace around me, it would just block me from all of it. Now, you're still going to have things coming at you, but Jesus wants to walk right there with you through everything that you go through in life. And that is the power that he gives you. And that is the rich and satisfying life that he wants. If you realize that you've got a chance, if you realize that he wants to do something through you and in you, then you have a chance to actually fight against the things that are happening in your life right now. If you don't realize that, the enemy is just going to keep dragging you and dragging you and dragging you. And sometimes people think that they have a strong relationship with Jesus, and it comes in the facade of, oh, I go to church every Sunday, I'm in a small group, but I have no spiritual life outside of that. And I'm telling you, wake up. Jesus wants to do something so much bigger through you. He wants a pure connection with you. And next week, we're actually going to talk about it, Jesus being the vine. And what are you talking about? Next week, guys, just come here next week. But I'm telling you, it's that direct connection with him that will give you the rich and satisfying life that you need. It may not be the one you want right now, because you just have a bill that's coming up and you need it paid. That's it. But I'm telling you, look past the thing that's in front of you to the things that God wants to do through you over time. Because it's so much bigger than one bill. It's so much bigger than one thing that's right in front of you. It's so much bigger than that. He wants to be directly connected to you at all times so that you're hearing him, so that you have a direct conversation flow with him, and that this prayer life isn't just, we do prayer on Sunday mornings and that's it. It's a direct connection at all times. I could be working on my computer. I could be talking with someone random, and the Holy Spirit just speaks to me, and it's time to pray. I need to pray for this person. It may not be the moment to pray out loud and start speaking in tongues and doing all this other stuff, but it may be a moment to pocket that and say, I'm going to be praying for that person. They're not ready for me to tell them that. Otherwise, they'll get mad at me and never talk to me again. But it's to be sensitive to his Holy Spirit and what he is talking to you about. That's the sensitivity that we need. And I'm telling you, it's what we need. And that is spiritual success. If you like the word success, the Bible talks about it. It's called fruitfulness. If you want to have fruitfulness in your life, it is, and again, several verses in John that talk about this, it is when we are connected with Jesus. That is success, period. If we die today and we had a direct connection with Jesus, good job. Well done, good and faithful servant. You did it. Ephesians 1:13, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united, connected with Christ. He wants us to fight like a champion, not for victory, but from victory. It's like the difference between having the belt and fighting for the belt. WWE, let's go. God says he wants us to help. He wants to help us fight through the mess that we're going through. He doesn't want you to do it alone. And I'll even go one step further. He wants his people to surround you while you're going through the mess. And I'm telling you, this is the part that is the most difficult part, because you're like, well, everyone can see that it's happening to me, right? Why aren't they just jumping in and doing it? A lot of people don't know what to do. People get prideful sometimes. You try to step in their territory and people will do as much as they possibly can, but what I'm saying is we all have to get to the point where we're willing to, number one, step over those boundaries when someone's struggling and say, hey, I'm here to help. But also, on the other side of it is, as a Christian, as a developed, mature Christian, we have to get to the point where we're able and willing to say, man, I need help. Like, can you guys come over and, like, I don't know, brush my teeth? Like, I don't, that's weird. Don't brush my teeth. But you know what I'm saying? Humbling, completely humbling. You're not going to ask somebody, don't ask me to brush your teeth. I will, but I mean the big stuff. But I'm telling you right now, we have to be able to humble ourselves and be on both sides of this to be able to walk through what Jesus is trying to do in our life. A big one, don't fight with your spouse. Don't fight with your friend. Don't fight with your spiritual brother and sister. Fight for them. Realize that if there's tension between someone and you, that is not what is happening. It is not tension between you two. It is a spiritual tension that you have to fight for, not fight someone else. It is not someone else. Some of you have been hurt badly by the church as a whole. It is not the church that your battle is with. It is with a spiritual enemy that has worked through other people potentially, that has worked to you. I'm telling you that the goal is to have a spiritual unification with other believers. That is what the biblical goal is. And so we have to find a way to get to that other side. Do I need to talk to other people to try to figure this out and really be open about my feelings about how the church is treating me? Let's do it. You can do that. But you have to know in the back of your head that the goal is to be unified with other people. The goal. So we're going to go through four things here real quick, and we're going to actually spiritualize things that you may not be spiritualizing in your life right now, but it is so important that we do this. And first, I've got to make the distinction between American slavery, I know it seems weird, and the type of slavery that the Bible talks about. A slave in the Bible is an employee, essentially. They use the word slave, but they don't mean what we think of as slave. They think of slave as an employee, and sometimes that meant living in the home more intimately. You have to realize our culture in the United States, we've got so much stinking money, whether you think you do or not. We have so much money, it's ridiculous. The fact that we can just live places and not have to live with other people and stuff like that just is foreign to the concept of what the biblical communities were like. And so, somehow you got to get that through your head too. But this is talking about employees. And so I use the word slaves because that's what's written in the text that was interpreted here. So when you read slave here, it's employee, employer, okay? So number one is your work life. You need to hustle with purpose. So whatever your job is right now, and you're like, oh, that's tomorrow, isn't it? You're like, Monday is coming. This is your purpose, wherever you're at right now. Maybe it's not where you want to be long-term, but it is your purpose in life. It is part of your purpose in life. Ephesians 6:5 says, slaves, employees, obey your earthly masters and obey your employers with, I'm telling you, this is tough. You're like, oh boy, pastor, get off my toes, man. Obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Fear means to be, let me slow this down for a second. Fear isn't like, oh my goodness, that person's going to hurt me. It's wow, this person is a big deal. Like, this person is someone I need to serve. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. And that's going to be difficult to start off if you haven't been doing that. It's going to be very difficult. But the Bible, Jesus wants our best. He doesn't want perfection. You're going to get better at this as you go. And you may get to the point where you have found that your employer is evil and you shouldn't be there. That's another option. I'm just saying. But the Bible says we need to do what Jesus is asking us to do, and that is to serve them well and respect them. So we just need to do that and do our very best. So you need to know that you're going to spend over half of your time awake in life working. But don't just count down to retirement. Don't allow yourself to just count down to retirement, because retirement will be miserable too. If you don't understand what purpose is in life, retirement will be miserable. You will not enjoy it. I'm not speaking out of experience because I'm 36 and I am not retired, but I will tell you that there's a difference in life between having purpose and not having purpose. So embrace tomorrow. Embrace your Monday. Get to a point where you've created a rhythm in your life where you are preparing yourself to go back to work, to a point where you are anticipating going back and making a purpose for what you're about to do. You're going to go back to work tomorrow if you have a Monday through Friday thing. And that work is something that God is commissioning you to. Whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're staying home with your children, whether you're staying home because you're off right now, whatever tomorrow is, your work is, prepare yourself for that. Set up rhythms to prepare yourself for that. If you are still dreading Monday, then you need to create rhythms and conversations with God. I'm not telling you that tomorrow is going to be perfect, but I'm telling you if you create these rhythms now, 3, 4, 5 weeks from now, you will start to experience an anticipation for the work that you're doing. And honestly, this may mess you up completely, honestly. You may get there, you're 5 weeks from now, I'm not supposed to be here. I need to go be doing something different. I need to go to a trade school and get trained in this area. I'm supposed to be doing something different. Just follow God. Just get connected with Him. Figure out what this is. But I'm telling you right now, if you aren't doing this for your current employer, then you're going to be missing out on the purpose that God is trying to put into your life. So 50%, 54% of your time that you are awake is spent at work. So we need to prioritize that time just like it is important to us. And so view it as your work as a blessing from God. Be satisfied by doing something with your hands. In 1 Corinthians 16:9, it says, "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself." And so what you have been gifted, whether you enjoy it or not, is from God. And so to be able to do the work of God is a privilege from God. Work to honor and serve God through your employer, through whoever your direct supervisor is. Whoever that is, find purpose by serving them. And you're going to, some of you are like, "No, I'm not going to be a brown noser." I'm telling you, get that out of your mind's thinking right now. You have to ignore that. That is the enemy speaking to you. You've heard it so many times said that brown nosers get nowhere. And I'm telling you, remove that, because that is the spiritual enemy trying to tell you that you're not supposed to respect and honor the person that you're working for. It is a lot of things that I'm not going to say. Number two, lead people God's way. So we got to pick on the employers a little bit now, or pick on the employees a little bit. Employers! If you are so honored to be able to be in a position to employ people, Ephesians 6:9, "Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites." He has no favorites. You guys are on the same playing field. You just have different positions. The pitcher gets all the glory, whatever, I don't know. All the sports positions. You have a position on a team to be able to help and serve the people that you are serving in whatever realm you're in. And I'm telling you, this is important to God. It's really, really important to God that you get this right. So if you're running a business, here is your chance to practice what you preach. You may not own a church, you may not be working at a church, but you can still be a pastoral type person for the people that you're employing. Be fair, be honest, be kind, be generous. Leading isn't all about profit. It's a form of worship. If you're a middle manager, if you're a supervisor, you're in a unique spot to reflect God's leadership, honoring both your boss and leading your team toward these higher ideals. You have an opportunity to worship God by the way you run your business or you run your team. And so you have an opportunity to love people. And this, guys, this is spiritual. He would not have put this in his Bible if it wasn't spiritual. It's important. It's very important. And some of you, if you're kids right now and you haven't started working yet, listen. We're getting a Chick-fil-A. You're going to get a great example to work for a great company. Go work at Chick-fil-A. I don't care if it's 30 minutes away. You guys are going to be awesome. Then they're going to bring one here because everybody's going up there. Just do it. Maybe you can bring a Chick-fil-A here. If you're 12 right now, I'm telling you, this is the plan. This is Victory Faith's plan. You're going to work for Chick-fil-A for 6 years. You're going to do everything you possibly can to be awesome. Just, you know, 5, 10 years working there, 20 years maybe. Your goal is to bring the Chick-fil-A to Fort Madison, Iowa. Okay? It's in the Bible. Be kind and do not let Keokuk get ones before we do. They got everything. Be kind, be honest, be fair, be generous. I'm telling you, think about these things. This is especially important if you're a teenager right now. It's so important because when you haven't started this process yet, you have an opportunity to start fresh. We all have this, like, when you get older and you've done it, been working for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, you have thinking that is messed up after a while. You've been bruised. But if you can start off fresh with this stuff, you can actually make a huge difference and just ignore all this stuff. Someone says, oh, brown noser. Ignore it. Ignore it the first time. Ignore it the second time. They'll stop saying it. Just ignore it. Keep pushing through. Keep pushing through. I've heard that brown noser thing so many times that it stopped me. And I'm ashamed of this. It stopped me from honoring the people that I was being led by to the point where I would gossip about them and talk about them behind their backs because I wasn't going to be a brown noser anymore. I was just going to be, you know, a normal person that is working for a company. And I had to learn later on that there's so much more spiritual significance to being an honoring person than this brown noser word that was thrown around. Ignore that stuff. Work hard. Employers, work hard at honoring the people you work with. I love this saying, honor is all the way around. It's we honor up, we honor down, and we honor all the way around. We don't just honor our leaders. We don't just honor the people who are on our teams, but we honor everyone. And that's the culture that we're trying to set here at Victory Faith. We've got people coming in. And I'll tell you, to be honest, this is where this comes from. The intensity of why I'm bringing this up is we've had people who previously attended this church have told us that they've come here before a while ago that they experienced people shaming them for the clothes they were wearing. And I know it was none. I honestly know it was none of you guys. I'm not saying it was you. And that blew me away. And so that is not who we are going to be. We are going to be an honoring culture who loves people no matter what, no matter who they are, no matter where they've come. And maybe you've seen them on the newspaper, in the newspaper, which I don't even know what that is anymore, or you saw on, because the police stations are getting real funny with their social media posts now. Ignore that stuff as far as you can. They're posting stuff about people going to jail, and I don't like it very much, but they're making fun of them. We need to honor people. We need to love people. We need to be generous to people. We need to be kind to people because guess what? We are one step away from being that person. We are so close. And we have to honor people as much as we possibly can. Honoring your parents. So now that I've got all the middle schoolers in here focused on my message, this is so big. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents. Literally says just obey. It's not talking about honoring yet. Obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. So because you belong to the Lord, he's saying to obey. And now parents, I'm telling you nicely, don't look at your kids right now. This is not the time. And as much as you want to. And then it says, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment. This is a commandment. Like there's 10 and it's one of them. And some of the ones we ignore. A lot of chit chat going on here. We ignore the Sabbath. We're like, that's old. We ignore honoring our parents, which is not children. Once you get to the honor your father and mother, this is actually much more difficult than obeying your parents. Those of you who your parents are out of, or you're out of their home, you still have to honor them. Oh, man, you got asking some difficult stuff. That doesn't mean you have to be their best friend, but we are to honor them. And so this is really deep stuff. This is so spiritual, so strong, and it will determine your spiritual maturity. I'm learning this so much, and it's so much. So if you can take this, it says first, children, when you're a child, obey your parents. There are going to be times, you're going through a lot. There are a lot of things happening in your brain chemistry and your emotions and things like that. You're going to feel all of that. It's real. It's happening. But at the end of the day, it says obey. So you can have all that going through your brain and your emotions, and you can talk through that later. And I'm sure they'll be open to talking to you about it. If they're not, make sure you're a place they can talk to. But at the end of the day, it says to obey. So what do? We'll do what my son does really well. He's awesome at this. He slows things down, and he just does it. And he's better than I am. We obey our parents when we're children, and then we honor them. We respect them when we're older, when they're older. We do everything that we possibly can in their elder years that when they took care of us and changed our diapers, not going to say it, but be ready. Honor. Honor your father and mother. And I've seen some of you do it. I saw my grandpa do this with my grandma 20 years ago. When you've seen it happen, it's instilled in you at that point. Some of you haven't visualized this yet. Prepare yourself for it, because honor is not easy. Honor is not easy, especially being a child and a parent. Honor ain't always happy either. Don't get that wrong. So living under your parents' roof means more than just following these rules. It's about respect and engagement. How are you engaging your parents? How are you having conversations with them? What does that look like for you? What you do now matters, and you're never too young to start living out your faith boldly. 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, don't let anyone else think less of you because you are young. Be an example to all believers in what you say, in the way you live, in the way you love, in your faith, and in your purity. You can honor God by obeying your parents and then honoring them in your later years. Number 4, here we go. Kids, you got it first. Parents! Number 4, parenting balance is key. Ephesians 6, 4, fathers. It's not just fathers. It's also mothers. Do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. It is our job to teach them basic instructions so that they're ready for, honestly, the number one goal as a Christian parent isn't to make them successful in life. And I think, man, we get that backwards sometimes because we get them on travel leagues and, you know, sports are awesome. They're great at teaching teamwork. But our primary objective is to help them follow Jesus. And so we start there with the primary principles of life. If you need help with that, a lot of struggling parents in here, but we can show you a couple things. So we do that, but also part of it is we need to figure out who they are, how God has wired them to be. And that, then we take it to the next level. And okay, my daughter is, she's spunky, man. She's a leader. I need to develop that part of her. So they're not just robots. Not all kids are exactly the same. We focus on who they are as specifics. Parents, lead with a gentle hand. Avoid being too harsh or too lenient. Okay, I'm going to say it just as loud on both of them. Do not be harsh and do not be lenient. So some of you are too harsh. Some of you are too lenient. Typically, one or the other parent does one or the other. There's no gender focus on that one. One or the other. But we're not just to be a disciplinarian, but as a mentor guiding their spiritual journey. Now, we can't be their friends. We could turn that down a little bit. We can't be their friends until they're older. And that is one of the most difficult parts of being a parent, is that we cannot be their friends. It breaks your heart. I hate correcting my three-year-old, but I'm telling you that the more I correct her, the less I have to correct her, right? We're at that spot, so it'll change later. I know. I have a 12-year-old too, so don't get on back. Your role is crucial. Talk about what God is teaching you. Tell them what's going on in your spiritual life. Tell them what struggles you're going through. They're going to be able to relate with your struggles a little bit more and why you're, you know, having a hard time parenting them sometimes. If they know what some of the things are that you're going through, it's okay to be vulnerable with them. It's okay. It's okay. Don't frustrate your kids. Don't make life intentionally difficult for your kids. They're going to feel that way no matter what. But do not do it on purpose. Do not overdo your leadership in their lives. Do not overdo discipline. Don't go over the top. Don't crush their spirit. Be engaged, but don't overdo. Don't overdo your leadership. They need a parent, not just a friend. Train them up in the instructions of God. Train them. And that means we have to do it too. We have to be instructing ourselves, learning ourselves, so that we can then instruct them. Ask what they've learned in church. Engage them after you leave church on Sunday. If they're in kids ministry, ask them things. Ask them questions. Don't just ask them, did you have a good time? Yeah. No, like, what did you learn? Oh, what verse was that? Like, just keep going. Keep asking them questions. Engage them over those things. YouVersion Bible app, there's a scroll all the way to the bottom. There's a kids thing. It's amazing. I learn so much from it every day. Download YouVersion Bible app. Awesome. Be real and honest when you miss the mark. I've heard this so many times lately, and it's the area where I'm having to learn the most, if I'm being vulnerable with you, is having to be the best person in my house at repenting when I've messed up. Like, that's what parents are called to do. Repenting to our children when we've messed up. And I mean, my son is literally listening to me talk about this, and he knows I don't even do that every time. And so I want you to know that this is not, like, I can sit here and say, don't do this, don't do this. But I'm saying it is a messy, messy, messy life. And we have to get ourselves on track with what God is calling us to do. And I want you to know that God has so much grace for you in these moments. We have to just do our very best, whether you're an employee, employer, a son, daughter, father, or mother. What I'm calling you to as a pastor and someone who's taking what the Bible says and giving it to you is, I want you to do your very best. And as long as we're doing our best, and that bar does move, one of my favorite lines lately is that there's this concept of ever-growing excellence. Excellence is not a bar, it's an ever-growing thing. And so when we're doing our best in parenting our children or being a boss or being an employee, it's a moving bar. It should be moving with us. As we get better, we should be shooting for more, not in like a perfectionist way, but that we should continue to seek after being excellent at whatever it is we do. And so right now, some of you are looking internally at yourself and you're not sure exactly what to do with the four things we talked about. So what I'd like to do is ask you guys just to stand up with me. And I'm not going to actually do anything weird. but all I want you to do is to simply bow your head with me. So it's just you by yourself. And just, if you need to, just put your hands out like this too. And just start to have a conversation with him. And this is where it starts. And saying things out loud, maybe a soft breath, Jesus. And you can talk to him like this. Jesus, I need your help with repenting to my children when I mess up. Will you give me the first step in that? And I'm telling you right now, when you're here in this spot, you have to make a decision, because if we don't make the decision right now, it's going to be hard when we start get going. We're going to get the car. We're going to be on E, got to drive the gas station, get caught, all that stuff. Just right now. Jesus, I want to repent better to my children. I want to be a better boss. I want to be able to listen to people better. I want to be able to honor those who are in leadership over me better. Help me to remove things from my mind like the word brown nosing. Help me to be better at that. Help me to be a better employee. Help me to be a better child, to honor my mother more, to honor my father more, to honor those who have stepped into the position of fatherhood for me in my life. Please, Lord, give me the next step. Let's take a moment of quietness now. I'm not going to talk. Have that conversation with him. Step out of your seat and walk back to the back to one of our prayer team members, just to talk with them about what you're experiencing right now, what you're thinking about right now, the changes you want to make. So I do it. I'm just going to count to three, and I just ask that you make the bold step of moving. One, two, three. Just go. No one's looking. Just go. And right now, those of you who are coming into this place today and you've made a decision to follow after Jesus with all of your heart, and you've already made that decision sometime through this message, I don't even know when it was, but you've made a decision that this is going to be a thing you do now. All I'm asking you to do right now is to make the bold step in just a few moments to raise your hand to let me know that's you, so I can look at you and just know that I'm praying for you. So all I'm asking you to do is I'm going to count to three. Just raise your hand. One, two, three. Raise your hand, please. Thank you. I see that. Thank you. Thank you. Jesus, I thank you that you are with people today, that you are here. You are helping people make decisions that will change their lives forever right now, God. I ask that you would show them the way, God, that you would show them the path. And if you're here and you did raise your hand, or maybe you didn't raise your hand, all I ask that if you would take your connection card and just write on there, hey, I raised my hand, or something like that, and give that, put that in a black box or bring it to the hub. I want to give you some tools to be able to follow after Jesus with your whole life. What we're going to do now is worship Jesus. So you've made some decisions. You've made some decisions that you want to change. Now worship Jesus with all of your life, with all of your heart.